Hi, this is Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Well, Terry, we have one of our favorites back with us today. We have Luke from Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. Dee, Terry, how are you?
Excellent.
Well, I'll tell you what, we want to reintroduce you to folks, Luke, because perhaps, sadly, everyone hasn't been listening from the beginning to Bark Radio. So would you tell our listeners in brief your story, what you're doing and why you're doing it?
I lost my dog Malcolm to metastatic bone cancer in 2006. So I sold my truck, put my worldly possessions into storage, and I got on the road with my other two dogs, Hudson and Murphy, and started walking across the country to promote awareness and education about canine cancer.
And the boys are what breed?
They're Great Pyrenees.
And how old are they?
Although I will say, I think their breed actually is, they're of the knucklehead breed.
Are they there listening to you? Did anybody just snarl at you?
They are sitting right by me, looking at me, actually glaring at me. Because actually, I don't know if you know, we're actually embroiled in a bit of a scandal right now. Hudson and Murphy have now overtaken their poppy on Twitter. They now have more followers on Twitter than I do. And so I have been threatening to revoke their Twitter privileges.
Uh-oh. I did not realize they had surpassed you, Luke.
I know. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, I'm kind of the guy, hello, I'm the one actually doing the walking out there and everything. Well, of course, they're doing walking as well. But, I mean, they're becoming more famous than their poppy.
Okay, that's pretty darned amazing. And I just really sometime I would love to get some video of whoever is actually doing the Twittering, if it's Murphy or Hudson. This could be a training video for other dogs.
I have no idea what goes on in our tent at night. I know I go to sleep and I wake up and my phone's in a different place. So I have, you know, who knows what they're doing with it. But
folks need to make a decision. Are you going to follow Luke? Are you going to follow the boys? Are you going to follow both?
Exactly.
That's great.
Right.
Well, Luke, we've been following you for quite some time, and of course, you know, we absolutely love what y'all are doing. You're walking for all of us who've ever been touched by cancer, either human or canine. And you have got something very special that is happening in September. Could you tell us about that?
That's right. Actually, well, it's everyone's opportunity to walk with us, to be a part of this walk physically. We are walking on something called the Great Allegheny Passage, which is a hike and bike trail that spans from Pittsburgh to Cumberland, Maryland, and then there's the CNO towpath that goes from Cumberland, Maryland to D.C. So we right now are on this path towards D.C., and when we get there, we are going to be marching on Capitol Hill. And so we would love to have everyone come and march on Capitol Hill along with us to show people exactly how important canine cancer is to all of us. We feel like this is our, you know, grand golden opportunity for, you know, everyone to come and really be a part of this walk and come and walk with us on this historic thing. We're actually planning to cross the Potomac River and assemble in the National Mall, and we'll have some speakers getting up talking about canine cancer and the epidemic of canine cancer and how important this issue is to all of us.
Well, I think that it's a fabulous opportunity for folks, and certainly Terry and I plan to be there, and we hope to bring our dogs so they can meet your dogs and all the other dogs. It's going to be a doggy party in addition to being a historic event. And Well, I understand, Luke, that you're still putting the details together. Is that correct for real specifics about the walk?
That's right. We actually just received the permit to do this. You have to apply with the National Parks, and we just received the permit to do this, and now we're just trying to figure out all of the logistics and specifics. We know we want to assemble and sort of meet up on the Virginia side. We're thinking the Lady Bird Johnson Park on the Virginia side and then walk across the 14th Street Bridge. But we want to have some type of busing system or parking system, all those specifics that we're still working through. So we got the permit. We have the date, September 18th. We have the time thereabouts, noonish on September 18th. So stay tuned, stay posted. We'll feed you guys all the details as they come about.
And, Luke, give the folks your web address so they can follow you there.
TwoDogs2000miles.org.
Excellent.
It's the number 2Dogs, number 2000miles.org.
Got it. And details will be there, will be available there as they become available, yes?
Yeah, or actually the best way, the best way to really, I have become a Twitterite or whatever you call those people. I love Twitter. I had a love-hate relationship with it early on, but now I've it's kind of like that Peter Sellers movie, How I Learned to Stop Hating the Bomb and Start Loving It or something. I had a love-hate relationship with Twitter early on, but it's such a useful application for my purposes, being out on the road and being able to talk to people and stuff like that. So the best way to find out anything about Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles, about any events, any goings on, any happenings, is actually Twitter us.
Okay.
And we are Two Dogs, 2,000 Miles on Twitter. Or if you don't want to follow us, it's Hudson and Murphy on Twitter.
So, guys, you follow the beautiful white fluffy dogs.
Right.
Or you follow their puppy.
Or the grungy, dirty, stink. Actually, do you know that one of our followers on Twitter, actually, I was lamenting the fact that Hudson and Murphy have more followers, and one of our people actually sent me a tweet saying that's because you stink. I guess that's the choice. You follow the two beautiful, pretty, puppy dogs, or the stinky, grungy, human.
That human who's been on the road for a year already.
That's right, man. It's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, man, I kind of feel like Rodney Dangerfield,
Well, guys, to our listeners, we're having a really great time here with Luke, and we love him and the boys, but it's such a serious issue, and we want all of you to follow them, follow the rest of their journey. After D.C., where will you go from there, Luke, and when do you anticipate the walk will end?
It'll be May. We'll get to Boston by next May. But I do want to speak to something that you pointed out, and I was just I was in Pittsburgh not so long ago, and a reporter from the Post-Gazette spent an afternoon with us walking and the downtown Pittsburgh area, and he did a wonderful article about us. And what I liked is that he said something that was so true, is that, about me, he said Luke takes his mission very, very seriously, but he doesn't take himself that seriously. And that is, and I like what you just said, and I want to expound on that this is, in all truthfulness, this is a very serious issue. I can speak from my own personal experiences, Dee and Terry, within the last month, in our own network of followers and supporters, we've had 4 dogs that have succumbed to cancer. All of them were under the age of 4. There was one 4-year-old dog, and the rest were age 3. And then we had 2 more dogs that were just diagnosed with cancer, all age 3. So when you start to see those statistics, when you start to see that that dogs now aged 3 years old are dying from cancer, then you begin to appreciate absolutely how serious this issue really is.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's just amazing. You always think of an elderly dog getting cancer, and
that's exactly right, Terry. And what we're seeing now is that cancer is no longer a disease of old age in dogs. In fact, I've been fine-tuning, you know, sort of my understanding of, you know, trying to really get my arms around the canine cancer, not only just the disease, but also just trying to truly understand and understand how big of a problem it is. And having walked well over 1,400 miles across 8 states for the past year and 4 months and have met so many people, I've been truly beginning to appreciate the tremendous size of this problem. And it's something that puts the fire every day when I have to, you know, when I get up and I'm tired and stuff like that, it puts the fire in my belly to keep going, because what I'm seeing out there is troubling. It's very troubling, is that I believe personally, now, there are no scientific statistics, there's no data to support this, but what I believe personally in my heart and what I've seen out there on the road is that if we don't figure out what's causing cancer in our dogs, then the average lifespan of a dog in a couple of decades is going to be 5 years old. And
that's just
absolutely
horrifying.
What a horrible place that would be for all of us, right?
Yeah, it's terrible. You got to wonder, is it food, is it environment, is it, you know, what? And if it's happened to our dogs, it's going to happen to us.
That's right, Terry. Actually, the term I hear from a veterinary oncologist and some of the people I've talked to I like a lot is that dogs really are our canaries in the coal mine. And so because their metabolism is much faster than ours, is that we're seeing really the cancer and the toxins that we are exposed to, ourselves and our children are exposed to, at a much faster rate. So if you think about that and you think, well, dogs really are canaries in our coal mine, and they are getting what we're exposed to, then just think about, you know, protract that out and think about what that means for us as people.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny. I actually, everything I'm saying about canine cancer can also be said about human cancer as well, because it is the same type of cancer. I met probably one of the heartbreaking stories that I've had along this journey is I was in Adelaide, Pennsylvania. I met a 4-year-old boy named Brock, and he was diagnosed at the age of, I think, 2, with a very rare form of retinal blastoma, type of retinal cancer. And you just think that when you see that, 4 years old, to have a very rare, very dangerous and deadly type of cancer, is that's not the natural order of things.
No, it's not. It's absolutely horrifying, and I think that for you to shine a light on this subject, it's your calling, Luke. It's huge, and all we can do from afar, we and all of our listeners, is to be with you in spirit and to follow you on the Internet, on Twitter, and on blogs and websites and all of that, and show up in D.C. and do let the press see that we are there in numbers, and that we do care about our animals, and that something has to be done.
That's right. Actually, you're exactly right, Dee, and that's why D.C., there really isn't anything more important than D.C. In terms of canine cancer, because this is the opportunity for everyone to stand up and step up and say, we will be counted, that legislators need to pay attention to and see that our dogs matter. And more importantly, that dogs need someone to speak for them and need someone out there fighting for them as well. And this is everyone's opportunity to come to D.C. and say, yes, we are here to speak for our beloved companions. We are here to show up and represent our beloved companions who can't speak for themselves, who can't fight for themselves. If we have enough people, Dee and Terry, if we have enough people, then people can't help but take notice and say, wow, this is a big problem.
Exactly.
And the millions and millions of dogs every year, it's that big of a problem, and it's something that we have to address as a nation now.
Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah.
Absolutely. So in the end here, I just want to say again to our Bark Radio listeners, we're going to keep reminding y'all. We're going to be throwing this out on Twitter, on Facebook. We're going to make sure that we talk about Luke and the walk on Bark Radio on a regular basis. We want y'all to join us there. So mark your calendars for Friday, September 18th, and follow Luke and the boys on Twitter for details. And all I can say is we'll see everybody there. Luke?
Yeah. I mean, I'm so excited, and I'm so humbled by this experience. Even now, right now, we've heard that one of our supporters is coming all the way from Colorado. She has a dog, Lily, that was diagnosed with bone cancer, and it metastasized to her lungs, so much like my dog, Malcolm. And she celebrated her two-year survival rate recently, and they're coming all the way from Colorado to be a part of the D.C. event. We have some of our supporters are coming all the way from Kentucky, so it's that big. And I really think this is going to be something quite special.
That's so cool. I mean, that just that sheer distance and that commitment, I mean, that's powerful. I mean, that's a powerful statement on that owner's behalf to drive all the way or fly all the way here from Colorado. Amazing.
Exactly. When I heard that, you know, I just got the email the other day that that she got time off of her job, and she emailed me. Her name is Hope. And her dog's name is Lily, and she emailed me and said that it was meant to be that she actually got those days off, and that she's going to be there to be a part of the DC event. And this is why I walk for people like Hope and people and dogs like Lily. This is exactly why I do what I do, and that they can be there a part of the DC event makes everything worth it.
Very cool.
Well, we are so with you, Luke, and thank you for doing what you do, and we will see you in D.C.
I look forward to it, guys.
All right, excellent. Thanks for joining us, Luke.
Thank you for having us on your show, and we'll talk to you sometime soon. I'll see you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.